Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back, Ken and Curtis, on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right, we'll get back to our Boston grudges here in a second. That was coming off the Shaughnessy column where he feels like there should be a larger grudge held against Manny Ramirez, who was welcomed back into the fold this week, Boston Hall of Famer. But we have now entered what Bradfo has dubbed the minor league hour, which is probably not a good title for it.
Great title.
Major
Sponsored
league
by
show.
McFarland.
Big time show. And a big time guest, the farm director of the Boston Red Sox on the Harbor One Hotline now, Brian Abraham, our good friend who has risen through the ranks from bullpen catcher. What was your first title, Brian, when you started with the organization when you came over from Toronto? What was your first title here?
I think my title was just bullpen catcher. I was kind of major league staff assistant, caught the bullpen, did some advanced scouting, a little bit of everything.
And here you are. Now you run the whole show. Congratulations to you. Great success story. And you got to be proud of the contributions your farm system has delivered this year. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, thank you. It's been great. I think, you know, player development, our staff, my role is ultimately to help the major league club achieve a World Series championship. To have our guys go up there and make an impact directly to wins is pretty special to see, and a really credit to our staff what they've been able to do down here.
More importantly, Brian, when Ken Laird came up to you about like 6 years ago and said, "Can I talk to Andrew Benintendi?" Did you say, like, who is this person? What is going on? I mean, you literally launched Ken Laird's career. You realize that, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I saw the potential. I mean, congratulations to you, Ken, on your rise within the ranks of EEI.
Thank
so
you.
Congratulations to you. I think, like I said, I saw the potential there, and it's just I gave him the opportunity. He ran with it.
It was an awful interview. Benintendi said nothing at all, but I appreciate the get.
Well,
it was the first one of its kind.
In fairness, this is what Brian's very good at. He's very good at teaching these guys how to say nothing.
I think Andrew
right?
kind
Correct,
of
Brian?
That.
Am I wrong?
Had that one down.
I wouldn't necessarily describe it as that. maybe not getting into specifics as much as some would like, but I think, you know, we try to provide information without giving all of our secrets and the intricacies of the organization.
All right, that's fair. Well put. Well, again, very well articulated. I will ask you this because we're going to cut to the chase. Brian Baio is really good. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you've been following him, but he's really good. And from what I understand, he developed a two-seamer at the end of last year, and now he's throwing this two-seamer like mid-90s, blowing everybody away. What is the thing? What is the last few things that you want to see this guy do, the last few boxes that he needs to check off before he gets the call?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is repetition at the upper levels. You know, AAA is a different beast than AA. You know, the competition he's facing, the big league hitters he's facing, guys that have had spent time in the big leagues. You know, consistency within the strike zone I think is incredibly important, as our pitchers especially see. Strike zone shrinks as they move up level to level. So the pitches that maybe they're getting called strikes or getting swings and misses on the edge of the zone tend to be whether either be taken by a good hitter or called ball. So I think that's something we just really focus and stress with our pitchers. That's a philosophical idea within the organization to pound the zone. And, you know, for him, you know, as daunting as this stuff can be, getting those outs within the strike zone is incredibly important. So, you know, he's done an amazing job. Start by start, he gets better and better. So I think fine-tuning some of those areas is just what, you know, one thing, you know, with all his pitches, all the pitches and strikes, that was something we'd like him to do.
Well, a lot of guys I want your reaction to. Schreiber here, waiver claim, February of last year, right? When John Schreiber, when you guys picked him up?
Yes, spring training. Definitely spring training.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the Tigers cut him loose for Nomar Mazara. Yes.
Wow. So compare where he is now with where he was when you picked him up. What was the process of getting him to being one of the great relievers in baseball right now, to be honest?
Yeah, you know, someone like that, first and foremost, you have to get to know the player, you know, who he is, what works for him, what he's done in the past, what he feels like he can improve upon. I think that's one thing that our organization does a really good job of, getting to know the player, because, you know, we can talk to them about adjustments and different changes they want to make, but if they're not going to buy it, if they're not going to trust the staff and the information we're providing them, we're really not going to get it anywhere. So I think that was first and foremost the relationship he built with our AAA staff, Paul Abbott, Sean Havlin, our senior pitching coordinator, I think was the start. And then, you know, changing some of his routines and habits. I know one of the things we've really stressed, especially at our upper levels, is competing in between outings or competing in between starts and working on particular pitches or working on your delivery with effort. You know, it's great to go out there and throw a 15-pitch side, but if you're not focusing and throwing with effort, you're not going to really see results transfer into game situations because you're not, you know, providing the output that's needed. So certainly not a game situation, but, you know, doing those things with effort. I think we've seen the velocity jump. We've seen, obviously, his pitches all improve over the years. And I think another thing that actually helped him as well is we stretched him out a little bit more so last year than was originally planned. He ended up making some spot starts. He went multiple innings. And I think all those types of things led to the buildup of the strength. And, you know, really, just really a credit to him, the work he's put in, the focus he's put in the weight room, in between outings, just a testament to the type of kid he is. And we're obviously incredibly excited about what he's done so far. You know, the funk, the unique delivery, I think, helps a lot as well. You know, you add that on top of the velo, on top of the swing and miss slider, you have a pretty interesting arm.
All right, Brian. So, you know, Rod Refsnyder was talking about with this the other day with me about how, all the organizations he was with, that he felt like you guys had done the best job of getting guys ready to go from AAA to the majors, and now that's what we're seeing now. What was the one thing that you can single out that you said, okay, you know what, we have to tweak the way that we do this, and that's going to pay off? And I know there's a bunch of stuff, but was there like one thing that you really said, we adjusted this and it's really been a payoff?
Geez, hard to pinpoint one thing. I think the added staff, if I could consider that as one thing, has made a huge difference. You know, we've always had a bench coach in AAA. We added a development coach. We added an assistant hitting coach. We added an assistant strength coach. We added two full-time trainers. So I think mirroring the big leagues in terms of the support, in terms of the ability for players to get feedback and time with staff on and off the field consistently and enough is really important, rather than, you know, having 15 pitchers that are all, you know, clamoring for time in the trainer's room. We have multiple trainers that are able to work on these guys, provide them the ability to get back on the mound and feel as good as they can. So if I had to say it was one thing, it would just be the staff. You know, I think that's something we've always felt has been important, but to have the ownership and Heim's support to provide the bodies to do that, I think it's made a huge difference.
We're talking to Farm Director Brian Abraham here on the Ken and Curtis Show. Rob Bradford in for Chris Curtis today. Brian, the Director of Player Development. What can you tell us about Connor Siebold? Any breaking news about possible his availability coming up in Toronto? And if he does get the shot, what are Sox fans going to see?
No breaking news. I think we always have to prepare our guys in AAA that are on the 40-man or not to get an opportunity in the big leagues at some point. And you know, that is certainly the case with Connor. You know, Connor obviously came over in a trade last year and or a couple of years ago, I guess, at this point. But guys that throw strikes, mix multiple pitches. We've seen the velo steadily increase this year, which has been great to see because of the health. But I think someone who's just really on the mound needs to be confident and trust in his ability to mix his pitches and pound the strike zone. I think that's something that some of the young pitchers tend to get up to the big leagues. They see the hitters, they see the strike zones, you know, gets a little bit smaller, and, you know, they tend to nibble. trusting what his stuff can do within that zone, trusting, Vassie or Kevin, whoever is catching him that night, but also understanding that he has a good feel for what he's able to do. Pitch by pitch is going to be really important, but he's done a really, really good job for us this year in AAA. His slider has continued to develop. His increased use of his changeup has really worked, and he's pounding the strike zone. So, if he has an opportunity in the big leagues at some point in the near future, we'll be excited for him to get that.
So two guys that, that I think that people – one guy that wasn't on people's radar, one guy that firmly was, but I wanted to sort of get you to weigh in. Rafaela, correct? Can you pronounce his first name, please?
Sedani.
Yes, thank you.
Sedani.
Thank you. So, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that hasn't locked in on it.
Easy, we have a Rafi. We call him Rafi. Rafi,
okay.
Easy,
So in case people don't know, he leads the world right now in extra base hits. He's sort of made this rapid rise from Greenville to Portland. But I want you to talk about him and like how he's viewed differently even from the start of the year in the organization, because he's cracked in to the top prospects in the organization now. And the other one is a no-brainer, which is Marcelo Meyer. Everyone knows about him, first-round draft, and how he's doing. So can you talk a little bit about those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, Rafaela last year, I think, opened some eyes late in the end of the season last year, made a couple mechanical adjustments with his swing, with his hands, that really opened him up to allow him to generate a little bit more power to all fields. He is a versatile defender, played mostly infield before last season. We got him into the outfield. He's playing mostly center field now. He's a plus defender. He has incredible instincts, incredible first steps. He's one of those guys you look up and he's already where the ball is going to be. He's a real game changer in the outfield. Still haven't played shortstop because of his ability to do that. I think whenever you talk about someone who can play shortstop in center field, potentially in the big leagues, that's a pretty special player. You look at Kike, what he's able to do. I mean, that's incredibly valuable for a roster and for an organization. So I think we've just seen someone evolve, someone mature at the plate. He has a better feel for the strike zone. Again, understanding the pitches he can drive to all fields, and he's dynamic on both sides of the ball. He can run the bases, he can field bag. He's incredibly dynamic and excited to watch. He can change the game in all aspects. So we're excited about where he is now in AA. Marcelo, I think everything that we had hoped he has been so far. Incredibly mature for his age, a natural leader. Our other players within this organization gravitate to him. He's bilingual, which is incredibly unique for a domestic, for an amateur draft pick who's able to relate to our younger Latin American players as well as our college and high school American players. So, to be able to bring players together in both areas is pretty fun to see. But really good defender, swings the bat really well. All the things that you hope for in a top-round pick, obviously I think there's a reason why he was at times was going to be talked about going 1-1, and we've seen that, the maturity, the confidence, the comfort that he has in the field and at the plate is I think something special to watch. But I think he would say too, there's a lot of work to be done to get to where he wants to be.
All right, Brian, real quick, Tristan Casas, what's the update on him?
He's in Fort Myers now, still working through his high ankle sprain. These types of things are always difficult. Anyone who's had an ankle sprain or a high ankle sprain, it requires a lot of rehab and progressing, but we're hopefully going to be swinging and getting back into this progression in the very near future. But we're happy with where the progress is, but also want to balance, pushing him to get ready back on the field with making sure he's healthy enough to do so. So he's in a good spot.
Almost 10 years ago, you're the bullpen catcher, 2013 World Series. Where did you go on the final out? First of all, did you warm up Koji?
I did not warm up Koji that night. I warmed him up. Well, we kind of, Mini, who's still there, we kind of switched off depending on what was happening. In the playoffs, there's a lot of double barrels, two guys going at once. But last out, Dana Levangie was our bullpen coach. Me, he, and Mini, we kind of hugged, and then a full-on sprint to the pile, which was something else. never forget. Pretty special experience for sure.
Were you ever in a brawl? Like seriously, like obviously, like when there's a kerfuffle or the dugout's clear, the bullpens have to run in. You ever have to run in for a brawl?
A couple of times. I was never in a brawl. I never punched anyone, or I stayed away. But there were a couple of times. You know, one that stood out. You know, when Dempster hit A-Rod, the benches cleared. There was one in Tampa, which I was not a fan of. The one in Tampa, because the bullpens are on the field, and it is a very short run. So all of a sudden, you jog out there, and you're in the middle of a lot of big guys that are not too happy. But yeah, I guess I was a part of a couple of bench clearers. Luckily, I was not hit or did any of the hitting, so I was trying to stay as far away as I could.
By the way, we have Benellis coming on after you to celebrate the Red Sox minor league system. Give me a question for him, like a good one, not like how awesome it is to be awesome. Give me a good Alex Benellis question, which maybe nobody knows about.
That's tough. That's tough. I mean, he just moved up to Portland. He was there for one day, so I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. He's had a really good year for us. We're pumped to get him in the trade last season, and you know, obviously he's performed, and you know, get a chance to go to Double A this year. And I don't know, best breakfast spot in Richmond. That's where they are right now. So
there you go, Waffle House. The two best beards in the minor league system: Brian Abraham and Alex Benellis. We got them both on. So
thanks. I appreciate that. Means a lot coming from you, Rob. Appreciate that.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Great having you, and kudos on all the success with the system this year.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Brian Abraham on the Harbor One Hotline here on Kent and Curtis. There you go. A little whip around, a little minor league whip around. But honestly, there's a bunch of guys to ask about. That's a pretty good sign. When you've got, you know, I don't even know the guy, Rafi, who's in Double A that you're talking about.
Yeah. No, he's rocketed up through. And I think that
little guys, he's 5'8", 152.
Yeah, but the tweet was the other day that in all of professional baseball right now, there's no one that has more extra base hits than him.
There you go. Who needs homers?
There you go.
Doubles machine. All right, we've been talking
The little guy.
Talking Boston grudges before Brian came on. And we do have Alex Benellis coming on at 12:30. But grudges, how about some pouring in on the text line that we did not think about? Mookie's name comes up.
Yeah.
You think people hold a grudge against Mookie? I guess maybe that's part of the reason he talked to you.
Honestly, like seeing the reaction off of the podcast, mm-hmm. like I didn't think so, but now I kind of think some people do. So, yeah.
Because they believe he chose to leave, didn't want to
stay. Yeah, I mean, when he came on the podcast and said, listen, I didn't want to come back. I wanted, you know, if for the right price, he didn't say this, I'm paraphrasing, but like I'm for the right price, I would have come back. I had no problem with Boston. There was a big wave of people saying he's lying, he's lying, he's lying. And that would lead to the whole grudge holding.
Kyrie, Ray Allen, we talked about. Johnny Damon. Do you think people hold a grudge against Damon?
He was cheered when he came back. I don't think people held a grudge.
Universally cheered?
I mean, he stepped out of the box and tipped his hat.
Weren't they throwing money at him, though? Or was that Jacoby Ellsbury?
I don't know.
Or both of them?
Wade Boggs?
Nah. No.
That's fine, right? He came back a couple years ago, right?
The grudge thing, man, like, people forget Clemens, that was a big deal. Like, the whole... You left, you said you were going to Houston, and you went to Toronto, and that was, nobody remembers that. And with Manny was just like, get out of town. This is like, we were done with you.
It just ended badly.
Yeah, Peter Chiarelli. Everybody wanted him gone.
What? Wow.
I don't know. I still hate Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah, is there?
Wow.
Is there
built a couple of
them. I mean, this going back to the producer's show X amount of hours ago when they're talking about Bergeron, but all I can think of was Ray Bourque. Like, why are we talking about, like, Bergeron in the same light of Ray Bourque? He's, like, trade the guy so he can get a cup, another one.
Wait a minute. I don't get that. So you're saying.
Well, I mean, he's an iconic figure, right?
Sure.
Like, so trade him, get some people back, like you did with Bourque.
Yeah, but you have a chance. That team had no chance to win. This team made the playoffs, and if you keep it together,
you
has
rebuild.
A chance
you need to
win.
They've
got young talent.
Okay.
You need to rebuild,
and that's a way to rebuild.
Got Taylor Hall, a long-term deal. All right, 617-779-7997.
By the way, Alex Benellis will absolutely answer. He'll answer anything.
Oh.
He'll absolutely answer, like, what the biggest grudge grudge that should be held in Boston sports, or at least wherever he comes from.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's find out what's trending first, and that's Nick LaPan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
It's a Brad Foe Show takeover of the Ken and Curtis Show today. We tried to hold it off, but it's hard to stop. It is hard to stop when he's here. Brad Foe's here. Good job, Brad Foe, today. Do you want to introduce our next guest?
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the Brad Foe Show.
Well, not a friend, a team member. He has the bunk beds in the Brad Foe Show house. I mean, it's not. Congratulations to Alex Bunnells becoming the first Brad Foe Show team member ever to make it to AA Portland. Congratulations, Alex.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. So, in case people don't know, Alex Bunnells. He just was promoted to AA Portland. He's going to be up with the Red Sox just in a matter of months, maybe a year. I'll give it a year. But still on his way, well on his way. Came over from Milwaukee with Jackie Bradley in Hamilton in exchange for Hunter Renfroe. Has been setting the world on fire, not only on the field but off the field. Did a viral TikTok. Has done now two viral TikToks.
Wow.
Right, Alex? Correct?
Yeah.
He is the best TikToker in the history of the Boston Red Sox organization.
Well, and how do you get the word of the promotion? Like, is it as exciting as, it's obviously not as exciting getting called to the big leagues, but who tells you you're going up to AA and what's that reaction like?
Yeah, so our manager in Greenville, Iggy, called me and Steven Scott, who also came up with me, into his office after the game, and he did a good acting trick. He acted like he was mad at us, and he had to talk to us in his office about something important. He came out in the locker room and called our names in a pretty stern tone and said, "In my office now, we need to have a chat." And I'm like, "Oh crap, what did I do?" And he ended up saying, "You know, you guys are going to Portland, well deserved." And it was pretty. It was a cool moment. Especially how he did it was a little different because he had me worried for a little bit that I did something wrong to piss him off, but it was just telling me that I was moving my way up, which it was pretty cool.
All right, we're gonna spin the wheel of Bunnells from previous appearances on the Brad Foe Show. A couple of things. One, semi-serious in regards to the game, which is the institution of the pitch clock, which is a big deal. And Alex was the first to make us aware of the problems they might have if they're gonna put this in the major leagues. And the other one is. Yeah, you got $30 a day, and how you actually spend the $30 a day, and how every minor leaguer is poisoning their body with Waffle House and Zaxby's. So let's start with a pitch clock because people don't know that they have instituted. Tell me if I'm getting this right, Alex. It's 14 seconds, but you have to. They tell the hitter that they have to be in the box with 9 seconds to go. Correct.
Yeah, correct. The hitter has to be, ready, looking at the pitcher by 9 seconds.
So do you think this can actually work in the major leagues next year?
I mean, the games are definitely a lot faster. It works to the point of the games are faster, it's more fast-paced, but I think a lot of guys are going to get frustrated with having to move fast and rushed at some points. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm rushed in the batter's box trying to, you know, let's say I swing out a curveball in the dirt. I want to step out of the box, take a deep breath, you know, regather my thoughts and step back in. Well, I got 5 seconds to do that, which is pretty quick. So I from a standpoint of making the game faster, yes, it totally works. But I think it might get some players frustrated at times.
And do you get more money? And this is the second part. Do you get more money when you go to AA per diem? You had $30 a day, pretty much, right, with Greenville.
Yeah.
Do you get more? Is this one of the benefits that you can actually buy a lobster roll now instead of eating at Waffles?
To be honest, I do not know. I have not got my per diem money yet, but I will have to get back to you on that one. That's something that I actually do not know.
Well, that's why you're the best minor league correspondent in the biz.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. Now, how about Portland, Maine? Have you ever been to Maine?
No, I have not.
What do you expect? What have people told you about Hadlock Field, or have they told you anything?
They said it's a beautiful area. I grew up in Wisconsin, you know, kind of outdoorsy, and that's kind of how I picture Maine. And I feel like I'll love it up there. They said the stadium is beautiful. The fans are incredible. And I'm just looking forward to get up there, because right now we're in Virginia. So come Sunday, so tomorrow, I'll be driving up my car, following the team bus up to Portland.
Ooh, look at that.
That's awesome.
It's just like Hoosiers. It's great. But so you had mentioned you're from Wisconsin. We were talking, Alex, about the biggest grudges being held in Boston.
Oh, it's got to be far for him, right?
Well, maybe not. Yeah, so this is why I want to ask you, because I know you're a big Aaron Rodgers guy, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So do people hold a grudge against Favre, number one? And what is the popularity, like, do people not like Rodgers anymore?
I feel like there's really not a big grudge on Favre because he did so much for us. There's some people you'll get here and there that didn't like that he went to the Vikings. But for the most part, they love Favre. And Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, it's the same way. As long as he keeps winning games for us, a lot of people don't care.
You don't care that he got weird?
What? No, not at all. I love it.
You do?
I love it. I love it. He can do whatever he wants. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And it's super fun to watch, wins his football games.
That's all.
Now, what about Davante Adams getting away? You probably hate the GM right now, right?
Yeah, that was sad to watch. Because them two might have been one of the best 1-2 punches, you know, obviously in NFL history. It's definitely up there, you know, top five, top 10. Super fun to watch, but sucks having to see someone of that caliber leave.
Yeah. And you hate Tom Brady.
See, the thing is, you know, people say, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. You know, I'll admit, you know, if you want to say GOAT, who's the greatest of all time, it's Brady. 100%. You know, the dude's a winner. It's incredible. But, you know, talent-wise, I think Rodgers is the best quarterback, I think, of all time. And I think that's a fair way to put it. You know, when I talk to people, they're like, all right, that's fair.
I mean, I don't know who you're talking to.
because everyone says, you know, the GOAT. And I'm like, yeah, that's Brady. They always ask me, like, you can't say, you know, you can't call it Aaron Rodgers the GOAT, right? And I'm like, no, that's Brady. Brady's got that title. I love Brady. Brady was like one of my first football jerseys when I was a kid. I had a Tom Brady jersey when I was real little. That was my first football jersey.
All right, that's fair. So speaking of, so you said if that's the most talented guy, who is the most talented Red Sox minor leaguer that you've played with so far?
It's Sidon Rafaela by far. He's incredible. Just what he does at the plate, I mean, all of his stats speak for that themselves. But what he does on defense, you know, he's the best shortstop I've seen, best center fielder I've seen. It's incredible what that kid can do just all around the baseball field. I mean, his arm is incredible. It's a bazooka. And some of the catches he made a catch in Asheville, and there was no video because they got no video in that stadium. He made a catch diving on the warning track to save a double or triple, and he was full out, you know, looked like Superman flying through the air, and I just stood there. And, like, we were all stood there. It was the third out of the inning, and we all just stood there like, what the heck just happened? And I've never, like, had that, like, feeling on a baseball field, like, what just happened? Like, I seriously don't know how to react because what I just saw was incredible. He's done that, like, twice this year. I just stood there and was like, wow.
Oh, man, it's going to be a good summer in Portland then. You guys are back together again, I mean, right?
And you know how to pronounce his name, unlike the farm director who we just had on.
Right.
So, there you go.
Well, he's incredible.
Well, keep us posted on everything happening in Portland.
Of course he will.
He's going to be on the Bradford show regularly. Okay, very good.
We pay him in T-shirts and TikToks.
That would be beautiful.
That's right.
All right. Well, hey, listen, seriously, Alex, congratulations on everything. Well-deserved. And we will definitely, we're going to bring the show up to Portland, so we look forward to seeing you in person.
Sounds good. I look forward to it, too.
Awesome.
All right, there you go. Alex Benelis in the farm system and rising through the charts. And this guy, Sedan Raffaella.
I mean, who knew that at the 12 o'clock hour was going to be the Sedan Raffaella hour?
He's from Curacao. His full name is Sedan Chipper Nicasio Marte Raffaella.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I thought Robert Farnsworth Bradford was bad.
319 average this year, 14 dongs, 15 stolen bases, 50 runs driven in. How about that?
So we had Brian Abraham, the farm director, talk about him. But that was the Benelis, like the...
Oh, that's gushy.
Ready? You ready?
That's a column.
The boots on the ground Benelis take was much, I thought, even more impactful, don't you think?
It's definitely going to be a Bradford column at WEI.com soon. And it should be. Now, Fitzy is here. Barrett is here. Kyrie's coming in.
He's
sitting
on the
with
way.
Those guys.
Yep.
And they'll be in for 3 big hours today. We're talking about Boston grudges. Before those guys take over one, though, I have teased this. We never got to it. I do want to get to the Dan Patrick commentary, little football talk to weave in, get your reaction to this, Rob, as to how the Deshaun Watson camp is going to approach fighting back against NFL suspensions that are probably going to be hefted his way, if not now, you know, soon. That's coming up.
We're back. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I said, is it fair to say that the punishment starts at a 1-year suspension for Deshaun Watson? And I was told yes. That's where the negotiations start. Now, it could be more and it could be less. But they're also saying, you know, this is a new process that the commissioner doesn't hear this. He hears the appeal. There's no precedent here. They want to bring up, that my source said, the NFL Players Association will bring up Daniel Snyder, will bring up Robert Kraft, and will bring up Ben Roethlisberger. That's going to be part of, from what my source said, the NFL Players Association, their approach will be to bring up these cases in as far as discipline.
So that's Dan Patrick. This is the Ken and Curtis show, by the way. Ken Laird here. Rob Bradford in for Curtis today. Baby
Watch
is on.
What's the list? What's the list off of this one, Ken?
Well, no list here. Just a quick reaction. By the way, Brian Barrett, Metric Man, is in studio after providing us key stats, key metrics
Excellent
earlier.
Excellent job.
What's up, players? Aaron Judge home runs. home runs. Do you think the Deshaun Watson camp bringing up the Kraft case moves the needle at all in lowering his suspension time? Because it is a double standard, especially when executives and coaches are supposed to be held to the higher standard in the league. Yes, Kraft had the charges dropped, but very salacious details surrounding it. No suspensions, right? Will Deshaun Watson's camp have any success in floating
leverage?
Any leverage in floating that theory out there?
No.
None. No. I mean, I kind of agree.
Players, I mean,
Roethlisberger,
players,
maybe. Roethlisberger, maybe.
I mean, when that came out about Kraft, it was, I remember being on that day. It was crazy. We're like, oh, he's going to get the team taken away from him, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And nothing happened, right?
Well, it's kind of night and day, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about 24
accusers
of Deshaun Watson.
No, we're down to four. We're down to four.
But he settled with 20. Yeah, I mean, it's civil suit. Robert Kraft got
a Hail Mary for Deshaun Watson. It's a Hail Mary for Deshaun Watson, I think.
But for Roethlisberger, you know, the comp, I guess it's a long time ago now. It's 15 years ago. But, you know, maybe he gets it reduced to 6 games or 8 games
you
or something
there.
Like that.
You were there in the middle of that, right?
It was despicable. The whole thing was just disgusting to, you know. And it was settled out of court.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about guys surviving scandal. I mean, we talked about Manny and Clemens. Well, that was another one. You lived through that in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't go away forever. Some people say that, like, you know, at a certain period of time,
it's not
going to
keep him from the Hall of Fame.
Some people never forget.
It's not going to keep him from the Hall of Fame.
You're probably right about that. You're probably, but for
him with Gronk.
But it's always, when you bring up Roethlisberger's name in other cities, it's often brought up quickly. Is the, you know, remember Milledgeville?
Yeah.
So for Deshaun Watson, he'll miss the whole year then, do we think? At least half
It feels
the year?
Like his camp's preparing for it by what the contract is. He's only making $1 million in base salary. So, and the Browns basically placated the guy who is looks to be an absolute creep show, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll do it this year so you don't lose any money. I mean, they planned for this whole thing to happen.
Yeah, it is amazing. And he'll be back in 2 years and still young enough to be a great player in the league. But, you know, this will never completely go away. But the other thing is the Texans organization, who was like sort of enabled the whole thing, like, you know, they had a safe space for him. Are they going to get punished through all this? And still, we have not heard much from the NFL.
How could it happen with Easterby there? You know, such a man of faith. How could this be going on with him there?
Did that predate him?
You're like the Jack Easterby of WEI.
Don't ever say that.
What's coming up on the big show?
Oh,
today?
Yeah. You got
1 to 5, 10 today.
Nick
Extended
Stevens
show. This is going to be feisty.
Thompson.
This will be hot.
It's going to be feisty.
Yes. Yes.
What,
well, Barrett's in a bad mood today. I mean, I am.
Well, he got landed on his head. He has a gash in his head. But I do want to ask him this.
You came in today ripping Tanner Houck after locking it down against Ramirez.
How many hits did he give up in the ninth?
Don't put him down this rabbit hole.
Did he earn the save?
I want to ask him the question that we started with, which is, Ken Laird made his list of people, not the face of Boston sports, but what do you say?
It's the Laird enjoyment list.
The Laird enjoyment list.
You like the TV angle of it.
Again, this is the sports version of the Laird enjoyment list.
I was on the Stairmaster list.
Okay, all right. So he put Devers as number one. Would you concur?
Face of Boston sports, the guy I most enjoy watching of any Boston
athlete. Yeah, I agree with the latter part. He is the most enjoyable guy to watch. And Ken made a great point earlier about the home run he hits against Seattle. I don't know. I still don't know how he hit that out of the park. The opposite way, 0-2 out of the strike zone. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's
right.
But the face, I don't think he can be, because he's not really like the leader of the team, so to speak. Like, to me, that would be more Bogarts than it would be Devers. Like, Xander's the spokesperson for the team.
So are you saying Bogarts is and Jason Tatum is not? Who is your guy?
The watchable thing or the
in case people missed it, here is Ken Laird's enjoyment list, right?
Yes.
We're putting up the 10 TVs and saying, here, in order of priority, this is who we want on these TVs all the time. Number 10 is Pastrnak. Number 9, McAvoy. Number 8, Tatum. Oof. Number 8.
You hate Tatum.
I like Tatum, but his stock is down.
Number
right now.
7, Bergeron. Number 6, Robert Williams. Number 5, Jaylen Brown. Number 4, Judon. Andy Hart's number 1 guy in the Patriots roster. Number 3, Xander. Number 2, Marshawn. And number 1, Devers.
Okay, so first thing, do you sign off in these articles that Andy writes?
Yes.
Oh, you signed off on that list of the players? Number 2 on the list was Nick Folk.
I mean, he's excellent at what he does.
Okay, but anyway, I would put Pivetta on there. Don't you say, like, in terms of watchability?
Ooh, that's not a bad one.
Pavetta's
not
been
a bad one, Ken.
Andy's intense.
He started 0-4, and I don't completely trust him.
What if he makes the All-Star team?
I don't completely trust him.
If he makes the All-Star team, is he on the list?
Oh, he's going to make the All-Star team. He should.
He probably is. I mean, his ERA's down to 3.25 after starting over 10 in his first 3 starts.
It's not a bad one. We've said this before. This is one of the reasons why Ken Laird likes Devers.
I like Waka. I don't know. For some reason, Waka, I trust. He's got a body of work. Like, this guy used to be really good. He's finding it again. I'm now tuning in for every Waka start. You just made the list. I talk
about enjoyment factor, and people love, much like Devers, about pouting and landing on the ground and doing all the things. People like the fact that Pivetta acts like we want pitchers to act, right?
Yeah, he's intense. He yells. He does all that. Remember last year in the postseason against Tampa, where he was just going nuts on the mound?
Yes.
And against Washington, the clincher, the curveball rub. The clinching curveball, the walk-off 12-6er.
I did. Here's a spoiler alert. Next week, dropping an entire Bradfoe Show on the Go podcast with Nick Pivetta talking about his curveball.
Wow.
You know who taught him the curveball?
Who?
Former Red Sox pitching coach, Bob McClure. Like, you sound fascinated.
I almost guessed that. Did you?
Yeah. Curtis would have guessed it.
Jacoby Myers was my 11.
Oh,
I almost had Jacoby Myers TV. I really enjoy watching him. You got him over Bourne?
You enjoy watching Jacoby Myers?
Yes.
I would pick Stevenson over him. I would pick, like, Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson over him. Wouldn't you?
Well, Damian Harris is a touchdown maker. I'll say that.
Yes.
He probably should be on the list.
Actually, I would pick Mac Jones over him. I would too,
over Jacoby Myers.
Mac's just not that sizzling to watch.
I feel like they involve Jacoby Myers way too much in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I think they throw the ball too much to Jacoby Myers. Feed Bourne more. Bourne's a way better player. I don't understand.
Do you have
this.
The numbers to back that up?
I actually do. You want
I know you do.
targeted like 50 times less. It makes no sense.
Oh, man, this is going to be a good show. I'm going to enjoy driving home.
Yep, I agree. It's an odd mix, right? I mean, three totally different human beings.
We don't know. I mean, I guess, sure.
Yeah, but we don't know. That's part of the summer experiment. We are now into summer sports radio.
It's time to experiment.
This is a Mount Rushmore show.
Kyrie Thompson, welcome to the team coming on. He was on with Greg Hill's show, and I do feel like they should have leaned into like his paleontology background a little bit more.
Yeah, I think they were unsure of how to proceed with Kyrie, but you know, they get to know him. It's part of the process.
The T-Rex had feathers.
And Jurassic Park's in theaters now. I thought that was going to be a no-brainer. They would dip right into that. But that's fine. That's why you guys have 4 hours today. You can do that.
Except Brian Barrett hasn't seen a movie or eaten solid food in 10 years.
Solid food is true. I haven't seen the new Jurassic Park, but I've seen most of them.
Okay.
Bradfield, great job. Great to have you.
Excellent job.
Next week, you will be joining me from Chicago.
If technology serves us, yes.
From our Odyssey sister station.
What a setup they have there.
You said it's glorious.
It's close.
670?
Yeah.
Oh, my boy hosts there. Say what up to him.
I have no idea who you're talking about. I will literally say what up to
you went on
there.
Joe Kelly went on a show.
Yes, I know. It's a whole nother podcast. But thank you, Ken. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
Thank you. And good luck to Curtis this week.
I heard it's nice outside.
I'm sure it's
tropical out there.
It's heating up out there. Good luck to the Curtis family as they prepare for young Brady to arrive sometime this week. And I'm sure he'll do great, and we'll get Curtis back as soon as possible. But up next is Fitzy and Hart. No Hart. It is Barrett and Kyrie in with Fitzy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.